Dr. Crossbow Adeli, welcome to Microscopio.
Thank you.
In this interview, we wanted to talk about postprandial dyslipidemia, pathophysiology and cardiovascular disease risk assessment. And our first question is, what can you tell us about postprandial dyslipidemia?
So postprandial dyslipidemia refers to abnormal lipid and lipoprotein metabolism after a meal or after food consumption. Since nowadays humans are in a non-fasting or postprandial state most of the day, it's been approximated that we are in a postprandial state almost 18 hours a day. We really only fasted about 6 hours a day, which means that most of the time we are in a modern humans are in postprandial state because we consume several meals during the day. We consume various small meals, and this leads to basically a prolonged postprandial state. So abnormal metabolism during this period is very important clinically, and so postprandial dyslipidemia refers to an abnormality that you increasingly see in both children and adults, especially in conditions such as obesity, metabolic syndrome, type 2 diabetes, and related conditions.
What are the reasons for traditionally measuring fasting TG?
Traditionally, patients are recommended, and even now around the world, people are recommended to fast before testing. This is because there has been a concern that consuming food would affect the test results and may make test results more difficult to interpret. But there is now evidence that non-fasting triglyceride could be even more valuable, which is also referring to postprandial triglyceride. So the level of triglyceride we have after a meal can be at least as important as having it measured in a fasting state. But, you know, fasting is challenging, and many, especially in children, many children cannot fast for prolonged periods of time. Also, even in adults, it varies. Some patients fast only for about 8 hours, and our recommendation is 14 hours. But many patients cannot fast that long. So because of the variability in hours of fasting, it has been rather challenging to have a standardized protocol for fasting. But the recent evidence suggests that it may not even be necessary. And actually, non-fasting triglyceride could be at least as helpful in predicting cardiovascular disease risk as much as, if not better than, fasting triglyceride.
And could you please tell us about the non-fasting lipid panel?
So non-fasting lipid panel is very similar to a fasting panel. Now, typically, the simple tests that have been done is total cholesterol, total triglyceride, HDL cholesterol, LDL cholesterol, and sometimes some more advanced tests such as apolipoprotein B, apolipoprotein A, and also calculations such as non-HDL cholesterol. So this is what is called lipid panel. Now, you could do basically the same test, but in a non-fasting sample or individual. The concern in the past was that triglyceride and LDL calculation could be affected. But data shows that those are actually the changes that occur in triglyceride might actually be more predictive when measured in a non-fasting sample.
And what can you tell us about postprandial lipids as markers of cardiovascular disease risk?
Postprandial lipids largely refers to triglyceride and cholesterol. And it refers to these lipids within these particles called chylomicron remnants and also VLDL remnants. But in a postprandial state, we have more chylomicron secreted, but we also have a lot of VLDL particles. VLDL stands for very low density lipoprotein. So VLDL comes from the liver. Chylomicrons are produced by the intestine after a meal. So when you say postprandial lipids, you're measuring the amount of triglyceride and cholesterol in these particles. They're called lipoprotein particles. These are particles that are very fatty and very lipid rich. And the amount of these particles, or the both the number as well as their lipid content, very important in development of atherosclerosis and cardiovascular disease. So therefore, the higher the level of these particles in a postprandial state, the higher the risk of disease. For that reason, you want to understand how many of these particles are present and how much triglyceride and cholesterol is there. They're also referred to as remnant particles or remnant lipoproteins. But basically, we are referring to two classes of lipoproteins, chylomicrons and VLDL particles, and their lipid content.
What is the role of a complex brain-gut axis in regulating postprandial lipid metabolism?
So yeah, we have learned over the last several years that metabolism is very complex. Both carbohydrate metabolism, lipid metabolism, as well as, you know, protein or amino acid metabolism. And there are a number of pathways involved. Basically, when we consume food, food contains a number of nutrients. And it's been shown that each nutrient has a receptor called a taste receptor. These receptors are present in the duodenum and other parts of the GI tract, and they sense the nutrient that we consume. And then a signal, when those nutrients trigger these receptors, a signal is sent to other cells called endocrine cells in the gut. They produce hormones, or we call them gut peptides. At the same time, there is also signaling that occurs to neurons in the intestine called enteric neurons. And then a signal is sent to the brain. So the brain wants to know what we just consumed. So this signal is really important to inform the brain of the food that was consumed. And then the brain sends a number of signals to program metabolism of that nutrient or those nutrients that are consumed. So there is this gut-brain axis or gut-brain signaling that's really important. There is no communication with the brain, that nutrient would not be normally metabolized, absorbed and metabolized. So therefore, metabolism of any food that we consume is under control of a very complex network, and that includes communication between the gut and the brain, as well as to the liver and other tissues. So this is a very complex process. We're starting to learn some of the mechanisms, but there is a lot more to learn.
And what does research say about the clinical assessment of postprandial lipids in humans?
There have been a number of studies. Postprandial lipids have been studied for more than 30, 40 years. But the more recent evidence is becoming even stronger for the fact that postprandial lipids are good predictors of future risk of cardiovascular disease. work in a number of labs around the world have supported that evidence. And particularly from Denmark, a group led by Dr. Burge Nordisgaard has been studying this, and they actually published a paper last year that and came up with guidelines in the European Union. There are now the European guidelines recommend that actually testing is done in a non-fasting state. So evidence is now strong enough that it's made it to clinical guidelines for monitoring patients with dyslipidemia and with obesity, diabetes, and other metabolic conditions.
Is there any final comment would you like to make about this topic?
Well, I wanted to just emphasize the fact that people should be aware of the fact that most of the day they are not in a fasting state. They are really in a postprandial state most of the day. Most of us around the world who have access to food constantly throughout the day are always consuming some food or snacks, and this gives us a postprandial state over almost 18 hours a day. Therefore, measuring the lipids in a postprandial state is more representative of what we are, how we are living, and therefore it's more relevant than fasting for 14 hours and then testing, which really it gives you a state that's not representative of the day-to-day life condition. So therefore, the recommendation to do the testing in a non-fasting state is really supported by a lot of evidence. But I should clarify that many physicians still do not quite know how to interpret test results done in a non-fasting state, because a lot of the guidelines, including guidelines in North America, I know in South America, in other parts of the world, are still recommending fasting. So it will take some time before you're going to see a shift to non-fasting testing, non-fasting state testing. So therefore, it's understandable if fasting is still recommended by many physicians. It's fasting testing is still relevant, and I would say is still useful, but it is clear that testing in a non-fasting state is even of higher benefit.
Thank you very much, Dr. Khosrow Wadeli. It's been a pleasure to have this interview in Microscopio.
Thank you, Belen. Thank you.